Are you sitting on an amazing idea, but you're just so scared to start? How often do you want to build a business, or you want to build a podcast, or you want to build a brand, but you're like, ooh, it's not perfect yet. Like, not just yet. Well, stop thinking that way, because today, Pauline Kulka and I are on the show discussing why today is your day. Today is the day to begin. She's going to be telling us about her company, Avail, which is only 11 months old and already changing lives for brides. It's a luxury rental company, and she co-founded it in 2023. While balancing her 9-to-5, she has been advancing her career at Google, completed her MBA at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management, incredible, and began her journey into entrepreneurship. She is going to tell us about Avail, a revolutionary bridal company designed to empower women to look and feel beautiful throughout their bridal season without breaking the bank. Pauline gives us practical advice. She's going to tell us how she started, how she's continued, why she rebranded, and what is keeping her going as she continues to do both. Here's Pauline. Get that notepad out. This is a great one. You're listening to Misunderstood Podcast, where we are setting the record straight on all things misunderstood. I'm your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, pageant runner-up, model, speaker, wife, and U.S. Navy lieutenant. I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. Welcome to the show, guys. What's up, world? This is Kelly Sabraki, and I'm so thrilled to have Pauline Kulka on the show today for another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. Pauline, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much for having me. Longtime follower, first time caller. So I'm really excited to be on and chat with you and your audience today.
I am so thrilled. This is following my Women Empowerment Dinner on Saturday, where I feel like I got to know you and your business partner even better. So it's just perfect timing because truly, like, the words that you shared at the dinner are exactly what I wanted to bring to the podcast. When we connected, first of all, I love the story of how we connected. I don't know if you remember the details, but I remember every little detail. Do you remember, like, what did it for me? Like, how we became instant friends?
I actually don't, but I'd love to hear your side of it.
I always love telling my like versions of my how we met stories. So Pauline and I were at an event back in October for our friend Natalie. We were at this loke party. Our friend Natalie, she has this amazing luxury, how do you describe it? Luxury
concierge
tour kind of thing where hot pink Teslas drive around the city and take you around Chicago. And it's just like incredible. So we're at this launch party for loke, and I got there a little early, and like, you know, all the on-time girls are there, or, you know, early and on time. And so I immediately saw you, and you had this bright, amazing smile, but you had these kick butt earrings on. And I was like, Pauline, or I think I said Pauline, I think I knew your name by that point, but I was like, I love your earrings. And you were like, yes, they're mine. And you, I was like, what do you mean? Like, you just own diamonds? Like, I'm very confused by this. And then you went into your company, Avail. I was like, okay, instant boss, babe. I'm obsessed. You exuded so much confidence. And I was like, boom, add you to my circle. And so that's what started it all. And I feel like here we are in January, and I've already got to see you a handful of times. It's been great.
I love that. And one of the things is, I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. So I think reason why we met, there's a reason why we saw each other on Saturday, there's a reason why we're doing this podcast right now. And that's why I'm excited to be here and chat a little bit about, you know, some of the things that obviously we met, we connected, but getting to know you better, I realized how well we align in parts of, you know, our beliefs. For me, a lot of that on Saturday was really, you know, at the Women's Empowerment Dinner was really evident, the way that you described do both. Now, I know your listeners know exactly what that means, but I had never heard anybody say that, like verbalize that, do both. And I feel like I've been doing both for so long. You know, I'll get a little bit into this, but I work full time. I work a 9-to-5 and I work a 5-to-9. Mm-hmm. 5-to-9 is my company Avail that I run with my business partner, Allie. And for the first time, like listening to you and hearing hashtag do both, I'm like, we are doing both. We have been doing both. And now we have a word to describe it.
I love that you said when we were going around the table introducing each other and you said like, hi, I'm Pauline. My 9 to 5 is Google, but my 5 to 9 is Avail. And I was like, wow, what a very eloquent way to put that, but also simplistic. And I was like, I do have a 5 to 9. I have like 17 5 to 9s. That's exactly what I'm doing, but I do both. So I also really resonated with your message. And I appreciate, you know, going into the dinner, I was really reflecting on like what I wanted to say to this specific group. I always try to tailor my message, although to my core, it's always the same, but obviously to my audience and how it's most applicable to the audience. And so I was like, to this woman, the group of, you know, women who are entrepreneurs and content creators and corporate leaders, I want to describe to you both to them as what it's a choice between what you have to do and what you want to do. And I appreciate that you and Ally, your business partner, you know, picked that out and could appreciate it. So launching kind of right into it, Pauline, what would you say is the most misunderstood thing about either running a business, you know, either with a full-time job on top of that, or just starting a business in general?
Yeah, I'll actually touch on starting a business and what's misunderstood there. And I'm going to take this in the lens of what I think would be most helpful for other women to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's most misunderstood is this idea that you need a lot in order to start a business, that you need a lot of money, that you need a lot of resources, that you need maybe a lot of education, or that you need a lot of people to start a business or run a startup. And that's one that I want to totally debunk for women out there is you don't need a lot. Yes, you need something. You need a great idea. You need a little bit maybe of cash on hand to start the business, but you don't need a lot. And I think when I talk to other women and they say, oh my gosh, you started a company and it's growing and it's flourishing. And I'm admiring you, or I've had women say, I'm jealous, which I hate that word. And I've heard it said.
Mm-hmm.
And what really gets me going is, well, you can do it too. You know, and then when I say something like that, I hear women give me all of the reasons why they possibly can't. And all those reasons have a lot to do with not having enough. It's, oh, well, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough cash on hand, and I don't have a team to build something. And that's, you know, that's what I want to go a little bit into. But to summarize, it's, you know, this idea that you need a lot. And I can go a little bit into how my partner and I, Ally, how we did a lot without a lot to begin with.
That's so incredible. I heard it just today. I was listening to this podcast and it was talking about how people think you need a bunch of money, or they think you need a lot of education, or they think you need a lot of people, or, you know, just exactly what you're saying. But he said, really, you just need to think.
You need to think,
you know, and again, that seems like such a simple concept, but a lot of people, I think, not us, because we are cut from similar cloth. That's why I always bring women like you into my circle, because you are so empowering and uplifting, but you also understand what it's like to think outside of the box. You know, thinking creatively, thinking really decision focused, and, you know, how do we need to get to the end goal? Like, what does that look like? Because not every tangent is a straight line. Like, you know, we have to figure out how to get from A to B. So, you know, I think that you just need to like think, put thoughts to paper, maybe think of the scary thing. Like, what does that look like? You know? So tell me, how did you and Ally even think up Avail? I think your answer would be your bride to be, right? Like, you're going to get married. So maybe that's it. But truly, how did you think this up?
Okay. So plot twist, that is not how we came up with Avail. Wow. It goes back a little bit more. So I'm going to give a little bit of context. Avail is a luxury bridal rental company. We rent accessories for women for their entire bridal season. Maybe it's earrings that you want to wear for your bachelorette party that are super fun and maybe not your regular style. Or maybe you want to wear one of those big pearl headbands for your bridal shower, but you don't want to spend $600 at Jennifer Bear for one of those, because in my opinion, that's kind of ridiculous to pay that much for a headband. Or maybe you want a beautiful diamond tennis necklace to wear at your wedding day that might be out of your budget. So that's what we do. Instead of having to buy all those accessories, brides can rent them. So I'll back up into, well, how did we start? Allie and I met at business school doing our MBAs at Kellogg at Northwestern University.
Amazing.
And it's, oh my gosh, when I look back, I'm like, this, it's so amazing. I'm so proud of that accomplishment, but it was a lot of work. And that's mm-hmm. where I knew that Allie, my business partner, was also a woman who did both. Mm-hmm. And I say that because we were working full time. I work at Google. Allie works at Blue Cross Blue Shield in brand marketing. And we were working full time jobs, and we took on one of the most prestigious MBA programs in this nation.
Amazing.
Part time. We were going to work 9 to 5. And then after work, we were doing class or we were doing homework. And we did that for about 2.5 years.
Wow.
So that is how Allie and I met. We had seen each other in a few classes. And this is something that you pick up on too, is sometimes when you're in the presence of another woman and you notice that they're cut from the same cloth and you see the way that they operate. And for me, that was seeing Allie work in a group. And whenever we were working together, we were working. You know, sometimes we would have a group of 5 people and who was doing the assignment. It was usually right. Allie and I, two of us were doing it. And there was just so much in her that I was like, you know what? I think we could do something together. So fast forward, we end up in a class together. It was an entrepreneurship class. We both knew that we were interested in entrepreneurship, but it goes back to sometimes, you know, you're interested in it and something, but you don't know how you're going to get there. So we were just dipping our toes in it by taking a class. And what I loved about this class that we took is that it taught you how to come up with a concept for your business. And I'm going to give everybody what basically I paid $7,500 for to take this class. That's how much it costs for an MBA class.
Wow.
So I'm going to give everyone this information for free because I think more women should understand it. But the premise of the class is that when you want to start a new venture, you want to have a startup, you don't start with the solution. You don't start with, here's what I think would be really cool, you know, which some people have done that. But what really works is you find a problem that you want to solve. So you take a look around and you think, where is there a gap? What are pain points that people have? What would somebody pay for to have fixed? Mm-hmm. And the problem that Allie and I and our group were tasked with, we self-tasked ourselves with it because we looked around and at the time we were, 28 and 29. And a lot of women around us were getting married. And the problem that we kept seeing over and over is that weddings are so expensive. Mm-hmm. So that was the problem that we were trying to solve. Now, of course, we can't solve weddings for everybody. So anyone who's listening right now, who's a bride, you're resonating with this, you're hearing with this, and you're probably like, yes, they are so expensive. So we can't solve that completely, but we zoomed into, well, what's one thing that we can solve? And women are spending thousands of dollars on their wedding attire and their accessories. So they want a beautiful YSL white clutch to wear on their wedding day. And they want the beautiful wedding earrings. And they want the fun accessories and glittery handbags for their bachelorette parties. And more often than not, they're only wearing them once.
Right.
So we almost have this twofold
guilty
problem.
Yeah, guilty. Me. I did that. I did all of it. I'm embarrassed, but I did it all.
But you did it, right? And there's nothing wrong with that because at the end of the day, we all want to feel and look beautiful and that's okay. So we ended up coming up with the concept of a veil. It was originally called Something Borrowed, which super original, I know, but we thought it was so charming. We ended up rebranding to a veil, but the idea really being, how do we help women not have to buy and spend a ton of money and also not have to buy things that are going to sit in their closet? So we came up with the concept, we did the class, and at the end of the class, Allie and I looked at each other and went, we have something here. Mm-hmm. And that was 11 months ago.
Wow.
Around this time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Real quick.
Yes.
What made you decide to rebrand? Okay. It was only 11 months ago. You said you started with Something Borrowed, which I do think is ridiculously charming. And then you switched over to a veil, which I think is so like chic and wonderful. And I love like your packaging. It's so stunning. But tell me there, like, how did you have this instinct so early on to shift gears? Because I feel like you guys have amazing instinct.
Thank you. I love that you said so early on because it helps me put things in perspective. When we made the decision to rebrand, it was such a difficult decision. We lost so much sleep over it. We had so many conversations over it because it must have been maybe like 8 months in. And we felt like it was too far in to rebrand, you know, so you had an perspective as a reminder to me that it wasn't too late to rebrand, because we built a company that we know is going to last for years and years and years and years to come.
Right.
And 8 months is nothing. So I love that you said that. It was just the beginning. And it happened for a couple of reasons. One of them is that, you know, when you look for something borrowed online, one, you see the movie. I think there's a movie from like the early 2000s.
Kate Hudson. I remember.
Love her. But there's so many businesses called Something Borrowed, and it's so hard to distinguish yourself when that is the case, right? Like even buying the domain was difficult to do. And we just kept getting lost in the shuffle, or people would say, oh yeah, Something Borrowed. I've heard of you guys. And they're like, oh, I looked at your business 2 years ago. I'm like, well, we didn't exist 2 years ago. So maybe that was a different company. I believe there's like a bridal rental shop that rents wedding dresses in Utah, maybe with the same name. So we kept getting conflated with other businesses. And we knew that what we had going for us is a long-term company. So what we wanted is something ownable. And by ownable, we meant, what is something that we can trademark? And what is something punchy? Because when we had Something Borrowed, that's a little bit more wordy. And a lot of this also comes from the fact that Ellie and I took brand marketing classes. And we knew that, you know, when you're coming up with a name, you want something that's memorable. And you also want something that's easy to trademark so that nobody else has it. But something that was five letters was something that we were always looking for. And we were doing so many brainstorming sessions. A lot of them ended with nothing. And one day we came up with a veil. And it's twofold. It's veil, isn't it? So it alludes to bridal. But this idea that we make things available to women that might not have been otherwise available, because it's not in budget for all women to spend a retail price on all these items. And that's how we make it available. So, you know, just acknowledging that it was an incredibly difficult decision, but at the end of the day, we trusted our gut and knew that if we wanted to keep growing this company, we needed a name that was uniquely ours. And that was Avail.
Wow. I was going to circle back with that question, but you already answered. It was really, I think the bottom line there is coming up with something that's unique to you. I love what you mentioned about even just Googling, because whenever I wanted to start Misunderstood Podcast, that was the first thing that I did. My coach and I brainstormed, and it was the MISS Understood, you know, podcast, which luckily there's a lot of like actually like misunderstood spelled correctly, but there was only one podcast at the time on iTunes that was MISS Understood, and it was from like 2016 and they only had two episodes. So I was like, okay, this, like, I can own Misunderstood. But the issue is that what you said, trademarking is really tough, because I think now there's like five. Yeah. And I've had people send them to me and I've tried to work with trademark lawyers, but it's just so hard. It's so hard. Have you officially trademarked everything in your business, or what was that process like?
We are actually in that process.
Okay.
But I resonate with you. It's not easy. And it was a lot, you know, that really led to the decision to change our name. But we're in the process. I'll let you know once we come out on the other side.
Yeah. Please let me know, because I need to take lots of tips and lots of notes. Same thing with hashtag do both. I've talked to a trademark lawyer about that too, because people like to steal it from me and use it in their bios. And I'm like, hey, man, that's mine. But kind of moving into some of the difficulties, I love your transparency, because I know there's so many women out there who are maybe 1 year behind you. Or maybe they're exactly where you're at right now, you know, 11 months or 12 months into it. Or maybe they're 1 year your senior, but still kind of figuring it out along the way. What would you say is, you know, your biggest tips or the biggest misunderstandings as you get ready to launch this venture?
Oh my gosh, I have one that I tell every woman, and it's so simple, but so true, is if you're going to wait for things to be perfect, you'll be waiting forever. Mm-hmm. Nothing's ever going to be perfect. I listen to so many women who are like, you know, I'll take podcasting, for example. I have a friend who says, oh, well, I really want to start a podcast. And I asked her, well, why haven't you? And she told me she bought all the equipment. She had it ready. She had a friend ready to
help
her. So I asked her the question of why haven't you? And she's like, well, I haven't come up with the right idea, or I haven't really, you know, come up with the right script for it. And that's the problem, right? If you are waiting for it to be perfect, you're always going to be waiting. The solution there is just start recording, hit record mm-hmm. and see what happens, because the first iteration is never going to be perfect, but it's the perfect first step. And that's how Allie and I founded our company is, you know, from the beginning, it wasn't perfect. We didn't even have like a checkout system on our website. Women were Venmoing money. They were sending us a Venmo to rent their accessories our first few days because we didn't have it perfect. It wasn't 100% ready. And all we did was we went step by step, day by day. That, and again, to recap, like my biggest piece of advice, if you're a woman who wants to start something, maybe that's a business or you want a career change or you want to start your 5 to 9 or podcasting.
Yeah.
Take just, oh my gosh, I was going to say just do it, but then Nike
just
would come.
Do it. Branding.
Exactly. But it's, you know, start with the first step because that's what's going to get you somewhere. Waiting around for things to be perfect. One, nobody cares if it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And two, you'll be waiting forever.
This hits home for me. One of the best pieces of advice I ever received was exactly what you are saying. And isn't it so funny? You have these like core memories. I remember receiving specific pieces of advice that changed my life. And one of my mentors, it was right after Miss California back in 2020. My hope was to be speaking in schools, but when I didn't win, I was like, well, how do I continue to share my message? But I'm not Miss California. So I kind of like lost that leverage to go speak in schools. Like, I'm just some random person that's going to be walking into schools. So I was like, but I have a lot to say. And my mentor was like, you should start a podcast. I was like, oh, that's crazy. I'm a nobody. I'm literally nobody. At the time I had 7,000 followers, I think. And I feel like I didn't have the it quality. All I knew were people who were on The Bachelor or on some reality TV show. Like, they all started podcasts, but a nobody like me didn't start a podcast. And then she planted the seed in my brain. And then it was another mentor who had a successful podcast. I was like, hey, like, tell me what this is like. And she said, Kelly, you have a lot to say and a lot of people need to hear it. And she said, every day you don't start this is a day that people are missing out on your message. She's like, so you just got to build the plane as you fly it. You just got to do it. And so she's like, I'll send you the microphone. And before we even started, what did I say? I was like, my microphone was $62, I think, off Amazon. It's a Q2 mic. It's the same mic I started with. And I had just enough to just do it. Right. And I remember recording that first episode. It's atrocious. My God. And it's the pilot episode. So it's what everybody has to go listen to. And it's so frustrating because I'm like, no, start here. Start at episode 110, not episode one. But 5 years later, you know, 5 seasons later, I'm still doing it. And you improve through the process. And I think that just in anything that you do, same thing with social media influencing, they're like, oh, how do I start? You just start.
Just start.
Every person had an account with 0 followers at one point. And I noticed that too. Speaking of that, your account just hit 30,000 followers for a veil.
That's
amazing. I mean, how did you
gain
that much growth in this short amount of time? That is so incredible.
You know what? I have to give Allie kudos there. She is our social media guru and has such an amazing vision for our account. But I think, you know, a couple of the things that have really propelled us forward is that we really cater to what women want or what women want to see. And I think women are truly excited to see a brand that is doing something new, a brand that is doing rentals, a brand that's here to make their lives easier. And I think we've really nailed the combination between here's what we're offering, but also giving inspiration. So we post a lot of our brides and what they wore. And it's not always us trying to be like, hey, go rent our accessories. Yes, that's part of it. But we also want to show them, hey, here's some ideas for how you can do a bachelorette party, or here's some outfit inspo. So really is the combination of providing value. And I think you know a lot about this too is, and I see this with some influencers, when they start growing, they're like, well, I need to keep putting myself out there. Yes, that's part of it. But a lot of it in gaining followers and growing is what value are you providing,
mm-hmm.
right? So you have your platform and you have your message that you're sharing, and that's your value. And that's why people follow you. And with Avail, we do the same thing as we try to provide value to women who are inundated with so many bridal photos already. It's how can we stand out and give them that value? So I'm also just preaching to the choir here of like, continue to provide value if you are trying to grow. That's been our unlock.
I love that so much. It's just such a bummer because I feel like, so I got married in 2022. So most of my bridal things happened in 2021. And now it's 2024. And so I missed this whole wave of rentals. And now I'm a rental queen. I love renting. And yeah. I feel like a lot of women nowadays love renting because that's really our culture has shifted so much. To be honest, I never wear the same outfit twice. Like never. And I will style it differently. I'll change something. I'll change my hair. I'll change my accessories. I'll change my shoes. But I just like can't. I've always been that way since high school. Insert social media. Now I nauseatingly cannot wear the same thing twice. Like if it's a printed blazer and I post a photo on it, I literally won't wear it. It was absurd. So then what I did for years was buy cheap clothes, which is not sustainable for like Earth. Like you can't just keep buying these, you know, poorly made clothes or whatever. It's terrible. And then you throw them out. It's so wasteful. And so when I was a bride, this is so embarrassing to admit, I have a suitcase full of white dresses. It's horrible. And it's sitting on my in-laws because I can't even look at white anymore. But I just bought every cute white dress I would lay my eyes on because I was like, oh, I'm going to wear white to my fitting. I'm going to wear white for my shower. I'm going to wear white for my cake tasting. I wore white to everything, but it had to be a different white dress for everything. Ridiculous. And also that was as I was building my social media brand too. So I didn't even find out that you could start renting stuff until after I was a bride. And I'm just like, you know, I started using Fashion Pass and they have a whole bridal like dress collection. I'm like, dang it, this all happened after. So I am your market, by the way, because I would go out and I poured my heart and soul and savings into these pieces I knew I wanted to wear on my wedding day. And sweet Austin was so supportive, but he was like, wait, how much are your shoes? I was like, don't look. Just don't even look, but I have to have them because I need the iconic shoes.
Yeah.
So yes, you definitely met that market and that audience.
And you know what? At the end of the day, if it made you happy, then that's all that matters, right? You bought all the stuff, you loved it, you looked fabulous in it, and that's okay too. But at least now we have options and we can do rentals.
Right. It did make me happy, but I think after the fact, it would have been wonderful to have sent it back.
Yeah.
All of those things. You know, you feel glamorous in the moment, which is exactly what you want. But even now, like I've continued renting clothes and whatnot, and knowing that I can give it back after, there's almost no guilt because I'm like, yes, it's a monthly fee or it's a rental fee, but I didn't pay full price for this. And I got my photo and I got my glam moment on to the next. Like, what can I rent next? It's going to make me feel so fabulous.
This is a rental right now. I'm wearing a rental sweater. I love Rent the Runway and my partner is a big Nuuly girl. So we hear you, love rentals. It's the way of the future. It's sustainable. It's better for the environment, of course. And also even cost-wise, right? You're not buying a new outfit for everything. So yeah.
Yes, it really is the way of the future. And I'll say as a girl who I've done Rent the Runway and I've done Fashion Pass, I love what you're mentioning about your social media, for example, of really creating a community, like a community of brides that inspo where they can go and they feel like they're a part of something. That is something that having done both in the last year, I left Rent the Runway to go back to Fashion Pass because Fashion Pass, I feel like they do what you do, which is on their social media, they feature their members. They're like, oh, look how Pauline styled this, or shout out to our Fashion Pass member. Like every Sunday, they do a highlight reel of girls who wore their stuff over the weekend. And I see my friends on there all the time. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Lexi. Oh my gosh, that's Cassie. Oh, look at that. Like I saw the picture already, of course, because it was on their Instagram, but I'm excited to see them as part of that Fashion Pass community. And I feel like you're doing the same with Avail. You're building a bridal community to make all those ladies. And then I bet they're even going to start following each other to like watch their weddings. Do you ever think about that? Like build that kind of community? That's super cool.
Oh, I love that. That thought makes me so happy. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's a beautiful community and we would be nothing without our brides. So there are models. They're who we post that. They're who we're so grateful to every single day. So it has been really incredible building the community, but also celebrating these women.
That's so awesome. So what would you say is kind of like your last and final biggest misunderstanding about running a business?
Oh, gosh. Well, my top two, of course, were that you need a lot and that, you know, everything has to be perfect. But I think my last one would be, oh my gosh, this is going to sound silly to say. My last one is the misunderstanding is that it's hard, right? That's the misunderstanding. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's easy by any means, because it's not easy. But when you love something and when you're so excited to do every single day, it's not hard. There might be difficult moments and it might push you and it might challenge you and you might be tired. But when you are doing something that you're passionate about, you can't tell yourself this is too hard, because it's never going to feel too hard. It's going to feel a lot of different things. And, you know, it's never going to be easy, but you're going to be so fueled with the adrenaline of doing what you love every single day that you're like, you know what? This isn't hard. This is what I need to be doing.
This is fun. I think that's such a beautiful way to put it, because people tell me all the time that my life is unrealistic and they say it's not possible. Like, they just flat out, they're like, it's not possible. It's not possible. You cannot be successful in the military and be doing X, Y, and Z that you're doing. You cannot be successful on social media and still be taken seriously as an officer. Like, all of those things, right? But then I go to work and then people at work are like, how are you doing this on the side? Because they find out my social media or whatever, but then they see me at work. So they know, like, no joke, I am working at work, and yet somehow I leave every day and I go home and I do my 5 to 9, you know, as you put it. But it's like you said, it's not hard because you are so fueled by it. It's almost just, it's second nature. Like, of course you're going to run this passion project in this business.
Of course.
Like, of course I'm going to do social media. Like, of course, like, what am I just going to come home and sit on the couch? Like, of course I'm going to do it. Before we get ready to in the episode, I would love for you to just give some practical tips on your time management. You are doing both. You are working for Google, a no joke company, you know, in a no joke role. You're being such a boss, but then also a boss in your own personal life, running your company, you know, with your business partner and planning a wedding. Mind you, you're doing it all, right? But it's not about doing it all. It's really about doing both. So how can you give some practical tips on maybe what your day-to-day looks like, or how you're spending your weekends, or maybe how you're factoring in self-care, or how you're kind of balancing it all?
Oh my gosh, I feel like that's such a broad question, but I can give some of the practical tips that I do. I'm a big list person. I have lists on lists, and my planner is always calendared out. I'm sure you resonate with this, because when you have so much going on, you want to make sure you're keeping track of it all. But one thing that has helped me is that I outline all my goals, let's say for the month or for the year. I have all those goals outlined and they're all actionable and measurable in some way. And I, when I'm planning out my week, I make sure that every single day I do at least one thing that helps me move towards my goal. So I'll give an example, right? Avail, we're running the business, but my partner and I also have our 9-to-5s. On my to-do list for every single day, I write at least one thing that's going to move the needle for Avail. So maybe it's sending an email to somebody who might be a great contact. Maybe it's finding a new packaging designer, which we did on Saturday at your women's dinner.
Yay!
And that not only helps with time management, but it helps move you forward in a way that's not overwhelming, right? I don't feel the need to accomplish 15 different things in my 5 to 9 every night. That's how people burn out. But I tell myself every day I'm going to do one thing that's going to move the needle on one of my biggest goals. So that would be my main practical tip. And the rest is it's calendaring, it's scheduling. Mm-hmm. I wish I had something sexy and an unlock that no one's ever heard. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I have a calendar and it's blocked out. This is my time to wake up, work out, do what I need to do in the morning. This is my time to go to my day job. And then after work, here's what I need to accomplish while still leaving enough time to get a good night's sleep.
Right. And see your fiance every now and then.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You're He's like, oh yeah, sport. There's people, you know, same with my husband. I'll just like sit next to him while I'm answering emails. No, I think that's beautiful. I think bottom line, it's the time management. It's the prioritization. It's like you said, moving the needle. In my phone, on my notes, I have a list and I will have things come to my brain all the time. Okay, email videographer, ooh, set up content shoot, do this. And I'll just brain dump and I will move to the top, of course, the things that I need to do sooner. But then all the rest of it is stuff that's going to help me with my speaking, with my branding, with my podcasting, reach out to this person, whatever it is. What I find is there's so much time throughout the day. You're doing something mindless. You're standing in line at Starbucks. You are standing in line at the grocery store. You're pumping your gas at the gas station, whatever it is. You're sitting there, right? Your brain automatically goes to pulling out your phone and scrolling. That's what the most people do. And so what I found is I do that too. I'm standing in line at Starbucks. I pull out my phone. I'm waiting. I'll immediately open up Instagram and start scrolling. And I've almost trained my brain. I scroll for about 10 seconds before I'm like, oh, wait, let me go back to that list. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, email Pauline, set up podcast. And then so I'll go to my list. I'll pull out my phone. I'm like, okay, Pauline, let's set up the podcast. Are you free? Blank day. And boom, by the time I'm in line at Starbucks ordering my drink, I've done one more thing. You know, so it's like that needle is very small, actionable items, but staying organized so it's not overwhelming. And just having like a resource, like you said, like a notepad or a journal or a phone or something that you can have your brain dump, but then really use your time so well. I think that's the only way you're going to be able to balance both. So I think that that's incredible. You're amazing, Pauline. I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of you. And I'm so grateful to know you. And thank you for letting me be on the podcast and letting me in your circle.
Absolutely. I'm going to be cheering for you and ready to help. I know, as I said on Saturday, I know that I'm not a bride anymore, but I know a gal, I know a couple gals out there and, you know, always here to model, support, influence as necessary. And I think it's going to be such a success. I can't wait to check in even a year from now and see the growth that you've had. How can everyone find you? How can we find your business?
We are avail.com. So it's AVEIL.com. And on Instagram, we are at Avail Brides. So check us out, give us a follow, support, send it to all of your engaged friends. And we do have a 10% code for Kelly's followers and listeners, and it's Kelly10.
Kelly10, let's go. Oh my gosh, I'm so honored. I didn't even know I had a code. Thank you.
Surprise.
Surprise. Thanks so much, Pauline. Cheering for you. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a big year, 2024.
It is. I feel it. I feel so good about this year and I can't wait to check in with you and let you know how it's been going.
Awesome. All right, brides, you have your assignment. Check out Avail. Thanks, Pauline.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I love hearing from you guys and I want you to take a screenshot of this episode, tag at misunderstood.podcast on Instagram and share a takeaway from today's episode. Something you loved, something you wanted more of, whatever it is, it helps me learn what you guys want to hear. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify. I want to give a special shout out to my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. If you are looking to launch a podcast, or if you already have one, you can get unlimited podcast editing by visiting usehatch.fm. That's usehatch.fm. Thanks so much, guys. Until next week, this is your Misunderstood Kelly Hall. The views and opinions presented here in this episode are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the DoD or its components. Appearance of or reference to any commercial products or services does not constitute DoD endorsement in those products or services. The appearance of external hyperlinks does not constitute DoD endorsement of the linked websites or of the information, products, or services there.